Well, Lord, we just thank you for this warm weather that you've moved in on us. We thank you, Father, for the clear weather that you've moved in on us too, Lord. It's just awesome these last few days. And I thank you for it, Father. I thank you for tonight and all the brothers and sisters that are going to participate tonight, Father. I ask that you lead us. Take us by the hand, Lord, and lead us through this night. That everything that we do would be to glorify you, Lord. We thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that we can always come to you, get advice. You said to ask, to seek, and to knock. And all those things would be done. All we had to do was just ask. I thank you, Lord, for this time that we're coming into, this time of great revival and great signs and wonders. And Lord, I ask that you teach us not to limit you in anything. You can do anything. I'm telling you, you can do anything. Not to limit you in any capacity whatsoever. I remember people talking about, I believe it was Henry Gruber, after on that film we might see tonight. Lord, he talked about, he wished he didn't have to go on those planes anymore. And that he could just be translated to wherever he went. And then you told him, why have you limited me? Lord, I don't want to be one that limits you. I mean, if I have to go somewhere, I'd rather you take me than I have to take myself. That'd be so cool. And I thank you for it, Father. And I believe everybody here would like that too. Sometimes, Lord, we put you in a box, just a little bitty box, and put you in a front or back pocket and just bring you out when we need you. Lord, I need you every minute. I need you every second, every moment to show me what to do and how to do it and what you want me to do. And I'm sure everybody here feels the same way. And I'll say this, Lord, that always bring it to my mind if something has to be done to ask you to do it in a supernatural way so that you could get the glory. Because that's the way you are. You want all the glory. And you're going to get it in the days ahead. The doctors aren't going to be able to do it. The psychiatrists aren't going to be able to do it. The armies aren't going to be able to do it. It's going to be you. And Lord, I just praise you. And I thank you for all that you're going to do in each one of us tonight. In Jesus' name. Let it be a sweet smell to you, Lord. In a sweet sound to your ears. And I thank you for it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Has anybody got a prayer request? Now, I want you to do something for me. I'm going to start, and I said this, I don't know, maybe a month or so ago. I wanted to start recording the prayer that we pray. And then when God answers them, I'd like for you to be sure and let me know so I can write it down in this little log that I'm going to start tonight. And we'll just see here how what happens in the next month. This will be, the first one we just say for this next month. What do y'all think? Can you do that? Can you help me out with that? That'd be awesome. And I think once we get a month or two behind us, we're going to see the awesomeness of God. Is that a word? The awesomeness. I just made it one if it ain't. Okay. Anybody got a prayer request? Yeah, Joe.
I'm not getting political, but I want to pray. I was looking at the situation currently in Venezuela. You know, there's a uprising possible, looks like a coup, you know, by the opposition party. But I want to pray for God's elect, you know, safety through a whole situation. I guess it is a coup, I guess is what they're saying. They're trying to take power away from the current president, you know, dictator pretty much. And it looked like it started today or just recently. You know, there's protests in the capital city of Venezuela down there. So I want to pray for, you know, God's elect that there'd be safety and or even supernatural protection. You know, I mean, just some miracles that would happen to protect people, because who knows if the government's going to rise up and try to destroy this thing. So,
but yeah, go ahead.
Basically, that's what seems like what's going on right now. Father, we just lift up the situation right now in Venezuela to you. We know your people are there. We pray that you'd put it on your heart of your people in Venezuela and surrounding countries to pray for this situation, that there'd be, Lord, you know, a peaceful transition of power. You know, the people of Venezuela, looks like they want freedom. You know, they're tired of the situation and the daily life there. And Father, just like, you know, just like many other countries out there, they're tired of just the same old, and they want something better, like, you know, they see over here in America. And so, Lord, we ask that you would just, you cause most of all supernatural protection in your, you know, for your people. I mean, you know, you would just show like miracles, you know, if it gets to that point where the government decides to, you know, come in and destroy this opposition, you know, if they get that bold. Lord God, you know what's going to happen here, but we pray for your protection, for your elect, for whatever's going to transpire. Supposedly, the one of the opposition leaders said this is just the start of a you know, peaceful transition, as was said. And Lord, we, you know, in any kind of really communist regime, you know, the government tends to rise up and just destroy the opposition, you know, with violence. You know, so we pray, Lord, that that would not happen. And that you would protect your elect through this whole thing, you know, that they would be protected, and then they would come through. And those who are not in the kingdom yet, and those who are in the kingdom, who are your elect, we pray for supernatural protection, that your angels would watch about them and keep them safe from whatever happens in this whole situation. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Okay. The 208 area code number, who is that, may I ask? Who is the 208 area code number?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can now.
Okay, this is Terry.
Oh, okay, Terry, I'm sorry, I couldn't, that must be a different number.
It's my same old number.
Okay, Terry. Thank you.
Okay.
All right. All right. Anybody else? Anybody else? Yeah, Marilyn, go ahead.
I'd like to just kind of pray a little bit more along the lines of the way Joe was praying.
Okay.
Lord, we just thank you and praise you, Father, that you have a good plan. You have a good plan for your people. No matter where we are, what country we're in, your people are your people and your elect are your elect. And Father, I'm just praying. I thank you that you have a sovereign plan and a sovereign will in all of this. And Lord, I pray that all the suffering that has been going on there in Venezuela has caused your people to cry out to you, because your word says when the judgments are in the land, the inhabitants learn righteousness. So Lord, you are, there's someone that has risen up and the people are behind him. And Lord, if this is your man, if you're going to use him to help your people in their misery and their suffering, Lord, I pray that this coup is going to be a success, if that's your will. And I also pray, Father, if this is your will, that the people in the military, the people that would be coming against the people and trying to put this thing down, that they'll shift to the other side. They'll shift to the side of the people. And the government can't contain the people if the military's not there to support it. So Lord, that is just coming to me. If that's your will, to answer the prayers of your people that have been crying out to you, Lord, I'm just praying that the military's going to throw down their arms and go to the other side, because they've seen the misery and they have loved ones that have suffered because of the corruption and the greed and the wickedness of the leader that's in there right now. So, Lord, I thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. We hook our faith up with both Joe and Marilyn. Lord, we thank you that this is going to come to pass. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Amen. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Pat, go ahead.
Father, I just ask as well and join with us all, Lord, to pray specifically against the Russian interference in this situation. Lord, that you would cut the legs out from under the strength of that support, and that you would do likewise with the Cuban interference there. Lord, that you would bind, cut the strength of that alliance there with this current dictator down there, Lord, and that you would just strengthen, come in and strengthen the opposition party that is has been duly elected into that place. A voice of the Venezuelan people spoke, and they elected this person, and the controlling government wasn't having it. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would bring that down, Lord. Put your people, to praying in Venezuela, and I wouldn't say fast, because a lot of the people are starving to death down there now, Lord. So we ask you, Lord, to have mercy upon your people, have mercy upon those that call upon your name, Lord, and start a revival. Bring forth your spirit to generate a revival there, an uprising of your spirit, Lord. And we thank you for that. Thank you for that you've given us authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the devil. And we thank you for that, Lord. We join with our brothers and sisters in Venezuela now, and we cry out with them, Lord, to have mercy upon those people. Have mercy upon that nation, and bring forth, Lord, bring forth a representative of the people, a ruler, a president that can bring that country back into normalcy, into allowing industry to thrive and function, and give the economy back to the people, Lord. Just is disturbing that the majority of the people in the world cannot see that the only way that socialist dictators stay in power is by terrorizing their people, forcing their people to submit. So, Lord, we just ask you, we also pray, Lord, that you would start to open the eyes of the church in America, Lord, and start to pray and bring forth this awareness in the United States that this same socialistic presence is endeavoring to spread into the country. I mean, we have representatives in Congress that are socialists. I mean, Lord, we are at a breaking point in this country, Lord, and I just ask that you would open up our eyes, give us grace. We cry out to you, Lord, on the behalf of your people in this country, Lord. Bring forth your truth and your spirit within us, and we thank you for it. Just bless us, Lord, as we continue on seeking you and entering into these truths with you. We thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Anyone else? What about a praise report or a testimony? Come on now. Well, go ahead, Diane.
Well, I went to my hairdresser this week and...
praise God.
I always praise God. I look forward to my time with her. About 5 or 6 years ago, she prayed and received the Lord with me. And many times I really get an opportunity to speak. And there are other people in the shop too that I know are listening. So it's quite good. And this last week, I told you I typed up last Wednesday's Bible study, a lot of the verses from it. And so that was really constituted with them when I went. And I got the opportunity. I told her, I said, you know, one of the reasons we left our congregation was how troubling it is to me that people are not getting warned today that the Lord is coming back. And so it really opened the door, and she's like a sponge. So I just shared so much with her, and I made 4 copies of the verses that I had typed up, and I asked her if she'd like to have some of them, and she said yes. And I said, do you want more than one? And she said, yes, can you give me one for my husband, Tommy? And I said, sure. So, and then when I left and we scheduled my appointment for next month, she says, how about 11 o'clock? And then she said, no, can you come in at 10:30? Well, she opens at 11, but sometimes she has me come in earlier so we can talk, and just the two of us, because she owns the shop. And so I really believe that the Lord was moving for her because she wants more. And so my prayer is just that for both she and her husband, Tommy. They're recently married. They've only been married, I think it's a year or a year and a half. And she was raised Catholic, but as far as I know, she's not practicing. She got married in the Catholic Church, but I've never heard her say anything about it. And her family, a lot of them are leaving Catholicism and going more towards full gospel churches. So I know the Lord is moving even in her environment, but I just want to pray that both she and Tommy, I just really feel the Lord is drawing her. Her name is Rainey, and she's just like a sponge. She wants more and more whenever I share the word with her. And
what's your name?
On the one hand, I think fear is good. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. But then on the other hand, I kept encouraging her with, I had given her a book a while back on Psalm 91, and I encouraged her to pick that up. And I just kept telling her that, you know, we don't have to be afraid. If we're listening to the Lord, listening to the Spirit and obeying the Lord, we don't have to be afraid. And if we slip up in sin, we just get back up and we confess it and plead the blood and we go on. We don't have to be afraid, as long as we're resting in the Lord. And so I just want to pray that she and Tommy, the Lord will continue to draw them, and even Tommy's mother, Alice, who's quite elderly, that the Lord would continue to draw them even together as a new couple, as a new married couple, he would draw them together in the Lord. So I'll just go ahead and pray if that's all right.
Sure,
so, Father, I just thank you and praise you for every opportunity you give me with Rainey. Lord, she is such a dear little lamb, and she really does want the truth, Lord. So I pray, Lord, that both she and Tommy would get together and go over these verses and look them up and read them for themselves in the Bible. And the word would fall in good soil. Lord, that they would even bring forth 30, 60, 100 fruit, Lord. So, Father, I thank you and I praise you ahead of time for what you're going to do, because I know it's going to be above and beyond anything I could ask or even think to ask for. So I give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name for Rainey and Tommy. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Did you say Renee was her name?
Rainey, like the rain.
Oh, okay.
Rainey. Uh-huh. Rainey and Tommy Okus.
Okay.
And I was telling her about the teleconference, and she said, "Wow, that sounds neat." I said, "Yeah." I said, "We all come together from all over the place." And I said, "And we pray for one another's situations, and we share what we've enjoyed of the Lord." And she says, "Wow, that sounds neat." So I don't know if it's time to invite her yet or not, but keep her in your prayers. I believe we're going to see her here one day, her and Tommy. Amen.
Awesome. You let me know and I'll send her an invite.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah. All right. Anyone else? iPad, Judy, and Sue G. Hi, y'all. Anybody got a testimony or want to pray or anything? Leon, I think, is waving at somebody. Somebody acknowledge that Leon's waving. Go ahead, brother.
I was just trying to get your attention. Anyway, Diane's prayer there reminded me the Pope has dedicated $500,000 to the illegal immigrants that are coming to America. He wants to support them, and I want to pray against that. Lord God, well, he's a false prophet. I'm true. I'm believing that he's the false prophet, totally. But I can't prove it yet. But anyway, Lord, we pray against this thing the Pope is doing. He's meddling where he doesn't need to meddle. And we need him to keep out of this stuff and stop encouraging the the illegal immigrants, the illegals from coming over here, Lord God, and supporting them. We come against the UN as well for their support for this invading army. And we pray against Mexico for supporting this as well, Lord God. But this president of Mexico said he would do this before he was elected. Excuse me. Lord, we come against all our enemies and we cast them down. We cast them out in the name of Jesus. Well, you're doing this anyway, we pray that you'd stop this in Jesus' name. Amen.
So. Amen. Amen. Amen.
George Soros and all the rest of them.
You know something? When I heard that $500,000 was all he was giving, I said, well, that cheap outfit. I tell you, they got billions in there, and he wants to give them $500,000. I said, okay.
Didn't come out of his pocket.
No, I know. But anyway, I agree. We need to pray against that caravan headed up. I think Mexico's getting fed up with them too. Well, we'll see. Thank
hey,
you.
High-level interrupt here.
You have what?
High-level interrupt.
Yeah, go ahead there.
I was just going to say that I have heard some time ago that a high percentage of the taxes income taxes collected, federal income taxes collected in the United States, goes to the Vatican. So we, so if that's true, then we are supporting.
Well, I understand the route that the money goes is from the Federal Reserve to the Queen, and then from the Queen to the central banks. So I don't know, from the Rothschilds.
Well, I think Constance Conley was the one that said that. She was involved in the World Bank. Constance Conley or something like that. She was involved in the central banking system or somewhere in there.
I don't know.
Yeah.
That's up in my head. That's way much more money than I ever tried to handle. Until something. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Lord, we just, yeah, Barry, go ahead. Let me pray just a minute, okay, before I forget it. Father, in the name of Jesus, we come against this Pope. We come against that harlot beast up there and all of his minions. And Lord, we thank you for just giving that, taking that money away from them and giving it to the poor in Jesus' name. They've been stealing from the poor for generations, hundreds of years. And Father, I thank you, Lord, that you just take that money and give it to the poor in Jesus' name. Amen. Go ahead, Barry.
Yeah, a little praise report from us. We had a project here where we had some really deteriorating concrete, kind of a patio area out and back. And this house was built in 1934, and concrete probably wasn't mixed right. Anyway, it was just falling apart, and kind of making a mess and rough and everything, and decided to put in some new concrete. Had a guy come out with an excavator, pull up the old concrete, and had another couple locals come in and, set up forms. Several of us removed dirt from, where the forms were going in, and giant tree roots, like, big as your arm, underneath that old concrete. A lot of work. But anyway, the day to pour was a Friday, and I didn't find out until Thursday night that we needed 6.5 yards of concrete instead of 5. The guys doing the concrete work told me that they needed 6.5 yards. Well, I called and left a message at the ready mix plant. Called the next morning, left a message, and didn't get to talk to anybody. And finally got through and asked the lady, I said, hey, we need to increase, 5 to 6.5 yards. So I think those guys have already left. I think they're on their way. My hair just, stood straight up. And a little concerned about that, and I said, well, call me back, let me know what's going on. And she called back and said, oh, we've had some meltdown, that they're not here, they're going to be late, we're gonna have to send it from somewhere else, another city is gonna have to send it out and all this stuff. And she says, because we've caused such a problem, we're gonna waive the mileage fee on the concrete, which is about $300. So their little meltdown at the ready mix plant saved me $300, which is just terrific. And since they had the meltdown, the guys couldn't leave when they wanted to, it also allowed me to increase that order from 5 to 6.5 yards. I mean, everything worked out perfectly. And, Lord, it looked like a disaster to me, them being late. And, having these guys standing around and throwing the timing off on the project. But it ended up being a blessing. It allowed me to get the quantity straightened out, and it saved me $300. So praise the Lord for him working in mysterious ways.
Amen. Thank you, Father. That's good. Thank you, Jesus. We get a little riled up for nothing sometimes, don't we? I'll speak for myself. I do. Go ahead, Leah.
Hey, Barry, could you loan me $300?
Yeah, checks in the mail.
Yes.
Amen. Checks in the mail. Ooh, I've heard that. All right. Anybody else? I wanted to, Missy, go ahead. I didn't see you there for a minute. You hiding out?
Nah. I wanted to share about my visit with my my family. I stayed with my mom and dad. We were, I guess it was Sunday. We wanted everybody to get together and go to dinner. And you know, there's been this rift between my parents and my son and daughter-in-law, Matt and Megan, and they finally agreed that they would go, and we had to kind of really work on them, be persistent with them. Well, what are you doing? When's good for you and stuff like that. And they came. They came and you know, dinner went well. Matt, he seemed perfectly fine, you know, talking to my mom and stuff. And Megan didn't really talk much or anything, but you know, they all gave each other a hug and stuff, and which was good. And I was just really praising and thanking the Lord. Thank you all for agreeing with me that that would come about. So that was a major breakthrough. And you know, my daughter-in-law, Megan, I asked her for, you know, her phone number before in an email, and she never responded. And I had sent her an email about something else, and she never responded. So, you know, long story short, you know, I asked her, you know, after dinner, you know, if I could have her phone number, I said, you know, to share things with her. And she kind of hesitated a little bit. She says, well, I'm not much of a talker. And I said, well, that's all right. You know, I'll just mainly text you and stuff. And so, but she said that she would, you know, get my number from Matt and text me later, but she hasn't yet. So, I'm just believing, you know, that she'll do that. Maybe I need to text Matt and say, hey, remind Megan to send me a text or whatever. So, but anyway, so that was a good thing. And things went, you know, pretty well with my parents. I had a lot of opportunity to bind spirits and cast down spoken curses and all kinds of stuff like that while I was there. And so, but anyway, I went a couple mornings with my dad over into the cafe there in the assisted living. And I guess it was yesterday morning, I was just telling him about, you know, things, you know, that were coming up, things that were going to happen, how the parallel with, because my mom was reading something in a devotional, and she was reading there in Peter about, you know, the false teachers and false prophets and everything. And I said to my dad, you know, about that. And I said, you know, there's a parallel between Trump and, you know, the true ministers. You know, there's a lot of false teachers and false prophets and everything out there. And I explained all that to him and things that were happening, the parallels and stuff like that. And he was really listening. And and I was explaining to him some things that, you know, needed to happen for God's people to get under the right ministers, you know, so that they understood things and could grow in the Lord, and so that when comes the mark of the beast, you know, they wouldn't take the mark and all, you know. Anyway, so it was good, you know. I like it when I get my dad to myself, because he listens, and he can't really say a whole lot, but he's gonna he's gonna talk again. So anyway, I just wanted to share that. And I'm believing for great revival here starting soon. By the way, I want to share something. This is very interesting. While I was gone, I had ordered a daily devotional that was, I thought it was written by the way the description of it, I thought it was written by Andrew Murray himself, that he put it together. But it, here it was, and I looked to see, and here it was Whitaker House. And I had no idea that Whitaker House is the publisher, but I had no idea that it was out of New Kensington, PA. And that's only like maybe a half hour from here. It's just north of us. I thought that was interesting. And so I got this devotional delivered here while I was gone. And, you know, and I kind of looked at it quick, and it, you know, it has, you know, it's dated from January the whole way through to December each day and everything. So I thought, well, tomorrow will be the first day that I read it. Well, this was the title for, and I didn't read the, I started to read a little bit earlier, and I didn't want to because it's for tomorrow, because May 1st, I thought, okay, tomorrow's May 1st. But listen to this. The title of it is called The Lost Secret. And it says, wait for the promise of the Father. Ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And I just I felt like the Lord was literally speaking that to me for right now. I mean, it's for us for right now. I thought that is no coincidence that, because that's Acts 1:4-5. And I was just like, that just so excited me, you know. And I started to read it a little bit, and it's good, you know, just saying about, you know, the Lord said, you know, not to go out until you've received power from on high. And I was like, anyway, I was just really, really excited about it, that, and encouraged. I felt like the Lord was just like speaking that just like, I mean, literally, I mean, I was just, when I read that, I felt like the Lord was just saying that for right now. So, so Lord, I just do pray. I pray, Lord, that it not many days from now that you do pour out your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit, that latter rain, and the man child be anointed, and the bride chosen, and this great revival gets going, Lord. And Lord, just I know we're all on the edge of our seat, just wondering when, and asking and praying and desiring to be sanctified, holy, and righteous before you without spot, wrinkle, or blemish. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that you're doing that in each and every one of us and preparing us for what's about ready to take place. And I just praise you and I thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Not many days hence. That's good. I like that. Hey, Ken. Boy, you've changed. Oh, okay. There you are. Oh, my. Okay. That's a good one. All right. Anyone else? Yeah, Joe. Go ahead.
I wanted to pray against something that's kind of seems like the last couple weeks has been happening at work. Since it was the Lord told me this past week, you know, that, I mean, it didn't quite, it sounded something like faction. It sounded like, I thought I heard him say, or, I mean, the Holy Spirit of the Lord, you know, whichever one, I'm not sure, but it's, I knew it was from one of them, you know, at least. And I just, I thought I heard saying like factions trying to get in the back door or something. These last couple weeks have been kind of, you know, I mean, there was a relative level of peace, and then like the last 2-3 weeks, maybe it's just been getting a little chaotic at times, or a little less peace, you know, than what there was. And it's, I mean, as always, I'm just caught in the middle of it, and at times I've had to choose sides. But it's, you know, not so much that, but I talked to my boss today, you know, about a situation that happened yesterday. Chris Graham, I had a run-in with him yesterday again, and I want to pray, you know, just for some clarity on who exactly my boss is. I guess I just, for so long, I've just been confused. You know, there's a lot of confusion and there's some, you know, deception or whatever from the enemy. I mean, I've got mixed ideas, like, you know, who exactly is my boss? Well, you know, what, because, you know, one person, one group, you know, that I guess I've always felt comfortable talking to, you know, oh, he's a deceptive, vindictive individual. But then I talked to him, you know, I've talked to him before and I've seen like, okay, I don't see that, you know, so just like today I talked, you know, and I just talked about the situation that happened yesterday. And it's like, I really don't see that, you know, so I'm just kind of, I want some clarity, you know, I mean, I guess everyone agree with me. I mean, you know, just, or I mean, or yeah, I'll pray that the Lord would deal with this faction if that's what he, you know, saying this faction is trying to come in and take root again. Cause I kind of sense some, since, you know, a lot of that that used to happen is starting to happen again. So, you know, I want to pray against that, but I want to pray for myself, just like God shine a light and show me exactly to just, you know, a light to just shine right through the lies of what people tell me, but to see, okay, this is what your boss is like, you know, so I can have more understanding on how to pray for him, or just, you know, okay, this is how my boss is. Cause, you know, I guess there's just seems like there's some confusion on what people are telling me and what I see. So yeah. So I just wanted to, folks would agree with me. So Father, I just thank you for just what you've been doing in my work situation. And I sense that was you. You know, whoever exactly that was, I sense that was from you telling me that faction, you know, warning me, hey, this is trying to take root again in your, in the company there. And I pray against that, Lord. I pray you would have, you would just cause those demons and people, you know, in that place, just no rest. You know, angels go in and just root up this faction, this division that wants to take root in that place. You know, the ground looks fertile for that kind of activity and that, you know, that wickedness to come back. And Lord, I pray against that. I pray that you would just begin to saturate that whole environment with unity, with just love, and just a lot of peace, and just a sense of unity fall upon that place once again. You know, may people begin to reconcile. You know, I pray for a reconciliation throughout that place. You know, it seemed like it started to, but you know, the enemy, you know, just disrupted it. So I pray against all faction, all division, you know, anything involved with that, you know, witchcraft, you know, of course, is always with faction as I've come to understand. I pray against the witchcraft operating there in my workshop or my workplace. And I just, I command it to go in Jesus' name, you know, and command your, all your plans to be disrupted and just, you know, cast down in Jesus' name. And Father, I just come to you and I ask that, you'd give me, you know, personally, just total clarity, total understanding. You just let all the lies, you know, fall to the ground on who exactly my boss is, Lord, that I may have a greater understanding of what I'm dealing with, you know, how I should pray for him. But just to know, you know, since the beginning, you know, I guess I've always, there's been a mystery. There's been a confusion, Lord. I've heard some people say, okay, this is the way he is. And I've kind of seen that, but then again, I've seen another way that, you know, isn't like that, Lord. So I desire that you would just shine the light and show me, okay, yeah, see, this is what he's like, Joe. You know, all those other people are lying, you know, or they're, you know, the demons have blinded their eyes to see what he's really like. So, you know, Lord, show me exactly. I pray, you know, Lord, you give me total clarity and, there'd be no doubt in my mind, okay, this is who he is. And I thank you for that, Lord. You know, thank you for what you're going to do there. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Joe, can I tell you who your boss is and what he's like? Your boss is Jesus, and he's loving, and he wants you to look through his eyes to the people in a loving way. You only see Jesus in people. You know, and I say that because sometimes we'll get caught up in the flesh too much. And I've been reading and studying for the last few days. I can't get out of chapter 8 of Romans. And I've been reading that for about the last 4 or 5 days. I want you to listen to this. There is, therefore, now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, it made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, he came in to us in the flesh of Jesus, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the ordinance of the law might be, depends on us, fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind of the flesh is death, but the mind of the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind of the flesh is enmity against God. It's an enemy of God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can it be. And they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not, that's us, ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwells in you. But if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ Jesus from the dead shall give life also to your mortal bodies through his Spirit that dwells in you. So then, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you receive not the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but you receive the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. And the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him. If we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified with him. That has really been put into my spirit these last few days. I've been over and over, and I try to get out of chapter 8, and I can't because of the flesh issue that God is trying to get rid of each one of us, in each one of us. And that's kind of what I wanted to say. I would say that praying for these guys, you know, and just giving them a smile. And don't worry about what they say to you. Just worry about how God thinks about you. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be like him, to turn the other cheek, let them slap you around if they have to, you know. But that's for a reason. And that reason is to get rid of the old flesh part of us so that we can be useful in this time ahead. When we lose our cool, and I'm not saying that I'm perfect, Joe. I'm not. I ain't no way. And, you know, I'm still learning myself. But when we don't lose our cool and we just grin and bear it and just pray for them, don't worry about who your boss is because your boss is Jesus. That's what I always think. My boss is Jesus. Don't worry about the flesh. The men around you, just see Jesus in them. And I think that you'll see a big change in your atmosphere out there when you are the light. And you're becoming that. You're becoming that. You've changed a lot. You've changed a lot here in the last few months. And you're still on that road, buddy. And we're praying for you. And I guess I'm through. but Romans 8, Joe, is a good lesson for all of us, because that's something we all, that's our biggest enemy, is our flesh. Amen. Joe, I love you, and I've been praying hard for you, and I know you're going to be an overcomer. All right. Anybody else? Yeah, Ken, go ahead, brother.
Okay. My 7-year-old grandson just went to the hospital with high blood pressure, and they think it's his kidneys. And I've already taken command over this, you know, this situation. I commanded him to be healed, and I'd like you to agree with me on that. He's not going to be in there long. So, and I hope you're hearing this, because my bandwidth is really low, but it's going to be okay.
Well, if you want to say a prayer, we'll all agree with you.
I already did. Go ahead. You can agree. He's healed. That's all there is to it.
Did you say it was his kidneys?
Well, that's what they think, the doctors think, but okay. You know, they don't know much.
Well, Lord, we just thank you and we praise you for this. What's his name?
Austin. Little Austin. He's 7 years old.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Lord, we just thank you that Austin's already here. We just praise you, Father, because Ken prayed the prayer of faith for his grandson. He has that authority. And, Lord, we thank you. We just praise you that Austin, they're going to get up there and they're going to find nothing wrong with that boy. He's going to be just fine. And we just praise you, Father, for that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for little Austin and his complete bill of health from the doctors up there. They're going to wonder what happened.
He'll be home tomorrow.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord.
We all agree with that. Name of Jesus.
Amen. We believe it. Austin is healed. I'm putting that down because I'm testimony's coming. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. What I'm doing, I'm taking a log and I'm dating it. And then when we get it answered, I'm going to date that too, just to show you how quick God answers our prayer. Okay, anybody else?
I got a little testimony if you have time. I'm just reminded of a study about God is love, and his children will be loved too. His children are love. And what you were talking about at the workplace and stuff, how being walking in love, I guess, you know, you deal with difficult people and you see decisions being made, and you know that, you know, you've got wisdom to straighten things out. And when you're correcting issues a lot, it makes you think less of people sometimes, when that basically the curse affects people's minds and they are just swimming in confusion a lot of times, and you don't want to come on too strong and make them extra nervous, and then they make more mistakes. And it's like, you know, it's like by observing and acknowledging something, it's almost like it's causing more problems. But also the anointing and the Holy Spirit is trying to get to the root of the matter, and he's ministering to these people all the time. And if we don't flesh out, there's going to be a better witness, a better testimony, and a time when he opens that harvest part of their heart, where it's like we can speak into their lives. We've done the time with them. We've dragged and we've plowed and we've hit those rocks and knocked them out of the field, and we plow, and their heart finally is able to receive, instead of being jealous and all the other worldly stuff and whatever it is. You know, it's almost like we do speak, our words are spirit and life. And if in our flesh we speak something we don't want to, it hits them so hard, just like our prayers of faith and our words of love would hit them so hard. So, you know, to prepare ourselves for the day, it's like John G. Lake would stand in that mirror and say, wherever it is, or Smith, Wigglesworth, or whoever, would say, wherever this suit goes, Jesus is going. You know, it's just like, I'm suiting up and I'm going to go work for Jesus today. You know, whatever we do unto him. And I, you know, I could name a bunch of examples, but like today I had a crew and we had about 200 pizzas, Meals on Wheels for old people, daycare, and the whole campus to feed still before 11 a.m. And I actually went in an hour late hoping that everybody would have some good decisions and get things rolling. And when I got there, I had to make up for an hour of screwball decisions. And me and my little crew turned it around. We faced the music. We just worked a little harder and they got some leadership and pulled it out and got the highest marks basically that we've had for this event we do every year, you know, and everything was on time. I didn't even look at the clock one time. By the time the smoke cleared, everything was on time and we were done. And it was like, well, it's a wrap. What are you going to say about that? You know, and I'm sure there will be, because of the peace that was going on in that chaos, that there's going to be opportunities to give God glory and to, you know, move a little bit closer for these people. And I really pray for the state of Maine and the culture, that God will either have me open something up or that he is opening something up. I've always thought of it as that Eastern gate where the light and Jesus is coming, you know. But if not, I'm ready to knock the dust off my shoes, because it's like, you know, I enter into a place, I try to bring to offer my peace to a, you know, to find the persons of peace and let my peace reside in a spot. But if, you know, God tells us if they don't receive, that we're to move on. So it's like, you know, I don't have any plans or anything else, but I'm just, you know, this is all coming to me at the moment. But I do see opportunities and I try to get my flesh out of the way and live that crucified life. And y'all pray for me, because I fail about twice as much as I succeed probably. God bless y'all.
Amen. George, I have to say this. You have such a way with words. It's awesome. And you make it real plain. Even old boy from Arkansas can understand you. And I thank you for it, brother. Yeah, Dave.
Yeah, I'm going through John 6 right now. And the beginning of John 6 is Jesus, he feeds like 5,000 men, it says. And then he goes up in the mountains because he wants to get away from the crowd, because they want to make him the prophet. They think he's the prophet, so they want to take him and make him their man. So he gets away from them, and then the disciples go away into the boat. They go across Galilee, I think it is. And Jesus meets them in the water, and all of a sudden they're there. And then all the people get on the shore and realize Jesus isn't there, and they're looking all over for him. They finally arrive on the other side of the lake there. And they find Jesus. And they say, well, Rabbi, how'd you get here? And he says, hey, you know what? You're not looking for me because you want to know what's going on. How'd I get here? You just want to have another free meal, basically. And so, you know, Jesus had this wonderful ministry the day before, and he fed 5,000 people, and he probably gave them a lot of good word, but the next day it was all gone. They're back. They're looking for feed my belly. You know, they weren't really looking for the spiritual food. And then Jesus starts giving them all the spiritual food there and talking about eventually eating his body and drinking his blood, and, you know, and nobody can come to him except the Father draw him. And he's giving all this information, and, you know, and I don't think a lot of people receive what he was saying that day. Matter of fact, a lot of the disciples walked away from him that day. So I don't think we can gauge our success in this world by the numbers. We're not going to do that. Jesus didn't go by the numbers. He basically came for those who the Father had gave him. And we're in that same boat. So just wanted to pass that on.
Amen. That's good. Yep, I was just looking for that free burger, wasn't it? All right. Free bologna sandwich. All right, anybody else? They had to have had bologna back in. Yeah, they had bologna back in. That stuff's been around for centuries. I wanted to ask y'all, we still got plenty of time. Do y'all want to see the testimony of Henry Groover about when he went to Rome down in the catacombs and talked to the big giant fallen angels? Y'all want to see that? It's not but about 20 minutes long, maybe 30 minutes long. Is that all right? Y'all want to see it?
Yeah.
No.
What was his name?
Henry Groover. He's the prayer walker guy. Let me get it going here. Y'all talk about something while I'm gone here.
I think I heard that guy speak before, or somebody was Quail with him?
Yeah.
Was that? Yeah, okay. I've heard that already. But go ahead, it's good.
What is this?
Ken, Quail did about six interviews with him with six different stories. So
did you just cut another one up there?
Who?
You.
No, there was two of them up there.
Well, where's the other one?
I don't know. It didn't display the first time I put it up, but it did the second time.
Well, the one that's coming up is this something about Russia.
Yeah.
That's not the one I want.
Right. It should be after that one. There's that one, then Isaiah's birthday, then the Rome one.
Okay. Yeah, it is. Nope, that ain't it.
Oh, are you talking about the fireside chat, Leon?
No.
With Steve Quayle?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it was with Steve Quayle. They're sitting by the fire, yeah.
Right.
He talked about it in there. Sid Roth did one, too, where he did a testimony of that. But, yeah, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah, but like Michael and I were talking, Sid Roth just interrupts and interrupts and interrupts. But Steve Quayle didn't do that a lot. I mean, he did interrupt a few times, but – it was pertinent to what Henry Groover was saying. Did you find it, Michael?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, good.
All right, let's see here. Share computer sound. Okay, here we go.
We're here today in our studio with Henry Groover with one of the most remarkable testimonies of an encounter with fallen angels beneath the streets of Rome. And when I first heard this story, I was absolutely amazed because when Henry came into Bozeman about 5 years ago, I provided him with an illustration that was shared with me by a very high-ranking military guy who was a four-star general. And this, when he saw this illustration, these two angels bound in these chains, Henry said that's exactly what they look like. And this thing was done almost, you know, I would say pretty close to 17 years, Henry, after you saw it. So share, if you would.
Oh, after.
Yeah. So your encounter, you know, with these entities, set it up so people can understand.
It was probably one of the most profound experiences I've ever had. I had been working for several years with a team called Holy Ghost Commandos, or Spirit-Filled Strike Force. And they did a lot of fasting and praying. Three of them were Green Berets, Vietnam. Very highly disciplined men. And would do a lot of fasting and praying, seeking the face of God as to where to do what we call the next strike. And we did strikes in very strategic places all over the world in those years. And so I was well acquainted with each of the other six men. There were seven of us. We had walked Washington, D.C. and had prayed it for 7 days. And that's a testimony in itself. But anyhow, I had come back from Europe and was home. At that time, I was living in Portland, Oregon. And one morning in 1988, the Lord spoke to me and said, "Get out of bed and get on your knees." And I got out of bed fully awake. I was not having a dream. I was not having a vision. The instant my knees hit the floor, I was walking the streets of Rome. And the six men of our commandos were behind me. And we came to a place on the streets of Rome where back like in 1950s, the iron doors like would open up with chains holding them leaning back. So they'd be like a natural barricade so people wouldn't fall down into the basement where they loaded the merchandise for the store. And we came to a place like that on the streets of Rome. And I reached down and I pull up these big iron doors and I look back at the men. And this is how I knew they were with me, the first sign that they were with me. And I look back at them and I said, this is where we go down. And I step over the chain and start down a spiral of ancient stone steps that I know predate the 3rd century. How do I know this? Because in my prayer walking of Europe, anything that is pre-third century, the staircases up to a fortress, up to a defense center or whatever, was designed so you hang on with your right hand if they're coming up and you try to fight with your left hand. And they realized in the 3rd century, whoops, this is wrong. We should have the staircases go the opposite direction where you hang on with your left hand because most people are right-handed and defend with your right hand.
That's amazing.
And so I knew that. And I know it was the staircase predating the 3rd century. And as I'm going down, these steps are so worn, I had to almost step carefully to the right and the left of center, or I'd turn my ankle. So these were very ancient steps. And as I'm going down, my commandos are above me, and the agreement that we had in our prayer walking and our spiritual strike was this, and I think this is very valuable. Whoever has the leading of the Lord, therein lead. If they have the understanding and the command from God to go, then the other six, whoever they are, it always varied with who was in lead. But the other six would be in total agreement backing them up prayerfully. So whatever proclamation, declaration, renunciation was made, six of them were in agreement with you. Well, now that's powerful. If you figure one will chase 1,000, two 10,000, 300,000, 4 million, 5 billion, 6 trillion. That's not too bad. You see what I mean?
I like God's odds.
Yeah, they're even bigger. And as we're going down this spiral staircase, their prayers above me, in all my life, I have never felt such a manifestation of power. It's like, it may sound feeble, but I don't know how to express it any other way. How do you express some things like this properly? Where do you find the language? But I felt like almost like my head had a funnel on it, and all of their prayers and their agreement was just pouring into me in supernatural. Strength. I've never felt such a powerful manifestation of power coming on me and through me in all my life as that was. Such boldness that I don't think anything could have caused fear. I don't know how to say it any other way. But as we're going down, and that power is building up in me like a giant capacitor. And as we get to the ground floor, I take one step forward through an arched entrance, and I look to the left. And as I look to the left, this massive angel is sitting like this. His wings are down over this way. He's grayish black. And he looks almost, his eyes are open. But the instant my foot steps into that room, he jumps up to his feet. His big hands come up like this, and he says in this deep bass voice, "You shouldn't be here," like that. And his eyes were blood red.
Did you get the feeling he knew who you were, too, at that point?
I don't know. It's like I caught him by surprise. And I heard it on the right as well, and I'd look to the right, and here's another one, identical, almost identical, to the right. And I don't believe I'm in any way exaggerating. I would say they had to have been at least about 30 feet, 25 to 30 feet tall. Massive. And this boldness on me, I mean, their hands were so big, they could have literally taken hold of my head like that. Exactly like that. I felt like I was like the size of this in comparison to their size and their hands. They could have literally popped my head off with one pop. But there was no fear. And this boldness in me, I pointed at the one on the right and one on the left. As I'm saying it, I'm saying, "We are here by divine commandment of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the apostolic mantle which you have, an anointing that you have bound for these many centuries, are now released to the church that the church might be made ready." And they said, "Whoa, we'll be going then." And out come the wings. Big, massive wings way out. And I point at the one and the other, and then I go like this with both fingers pointing opposite directions. And I said, "And you will not, but because you kept not your first estate, you are to be bound with chains until the great day of the Lord, saith the Lord Jesus Christ." And these massive links of chains come spiraling down like this. So big and so heavy, they knocked their wings and their arms down to their side. They began wrapping around their ankles and wrapped clear up under their neck. So all they could do was stand there looking up, totally bound by these chains. And after that, instantly, I was back in my bedroom, in my pajamas, because I wasn't in pajamas before. I was in street clothing. God can dress you
For the occasion.
And I looked around the room and I thought, well, I'm back in my bedroom. This was not a vision. I'm sure this was not a vision. This was totally different. And I got dressed and went downstairs. That was about 4:30 in the morning. 7 o'clock in the morning, my wife comes down the stairs. She says, "Wow," she says, "you... you were up early and you didn't come back to bed. I says, no, I can't, I couldn't go back to sleep. I can't go back to sleep. And she said, well, what is it? Can you tell me? And I said, well, I think so. I don't think I'm bound to hold it in. I told her, and she says, wow. Do you think that literally happened? That sounds like you were translated. And I said, that's what I'm thinking. But the apostolic anointing, I don't talk about things like that. I don't, it sounds too boastful. I mean, who am I to release the apostolic mantle back to the church that has been bound since the days of the Apostle Paul? Who am I? Well, then that afternoon, we get a phone call from a pastor there in Portland that had been their pastor for many years. Then they took a church by Seattle. And he said, hey, Henry, he says, we're in town, my wife and I, visiting our children and our new grandchild. Hey, what are you doing after dinner tonight, say around 7 o'clock? Have you got any plans? I says, no, I don't. And he says, well, could we drop by? We'd just love to have some fellowship with you again. So I says, well, I don't see any problem. Judith, you see any problem with having company at 7 tonight? No, no problem. So, of course, the way she does, she baked up some cake and got ready with hot chocolate and ready, and it was in the fall, I believe. And so they're sitting there, and we're fellowshipping, and my phone rings at my left hand, and I pick it up, and it's one of the brothers that was a Green Beret. And when he talks, and he's asked me not to give his name, okay, so I'm not going to give his name. It wouldn't matter right now, though. He's with the Lord now. He went to be with the Lord. But he just gave his first name, and he says, Henry, so-and-so. I said, yeah, I know your voice. He says, Vienna, Austria, Bangkok, Thailand, Rome, Italy. Has the Lord shown you anything within the past 24 hours? Now, see, he's testing me. And I think this is significant and important. And I said, well, I know that we're fasting, we're praying, considering the gates of Vienna. Bangkok, we've been discussing, but no, neither one of those. Rome, Italy. Oh, he says, okay, are you at liberty to share it? I says, yeah, I don't fully understand it yet. So I related to him what had happened. And he says, I'll get right back to you. Well, he hangs up. That's the way he is. Boy, his long distance calls are to the point, snap, boom, gone. And I look over at this pastor. His eyes are big, and he says, wow, you had that experience at 4:30 this morning? Do you think you were translated?
Why don't we explain, too, right now what translation is, okay?
Yes.
Because some people might link it as language. No, that explain biblical translation, okay?
Right.
That means you're supernaturally transported from where you are praying, literally to the streets of Rome. So yes. Put that, if you wouldn't mind, Henry, you know, explain
Absolutely.
It from your position.
Because
translation,
yeah,
most people who will see this won't know how to relate to
That's
it.
That's important. That's really important, Steve. Thank you. And I said to him, I don't know. All I know is it was so real, I don't know how it could have been a vision. I said, the reason is because when I came back into my body, I look and I'm in my pajamas. And I know I wasn't in my pajamas on those streets, because when I reached down and pulled up those big iron doors, I did not see flannel pajama sleeves. So that's how I know it was in the fall of 88.
Flannel's not a good battle array.
No, not hardly. In pajamas, you know, fighting those big of demons, fallen angels. And I said, and the first thing I did as come back into my room on my knees, I smelled the sleeve of my pajamas. That's when I realized, oh, wait a minute, I was clothed differently. Why would I smell my sleeve? Because when you're walking in these cities at Rome, it'll, you know, anywhere like that, London,
European,
Cairo,
you pick up the smell.
Everything is diesel powered. Everything is diesel powered. And your clothing, you blow your nose, it's like black soot out of a stovepipe. You know what I mean? When you walk as many hours as I do in those big cities. And so I said, I believe I was indeed transported or translated to Rome. But, and I said, I know the six men were there. I looked back and I saw them. And so I didn't have a confirmation yet. And so we're sitting there talking about this. What do you think it means, this apostolic mantle, apostolic? Because before 1988, you didn't hear hardly anything about the apostolic mantle. Now everybody's an apostle. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and if you don't believe that, they have a business card, and then if you'll throw in another couple things, pastor, evangelist, teacher, all around general, God's man for the hour, or the woman's man. So that's important for people to understand, ladies and gentlemen, the biblical apostolic anointing versus the assume I'm whatever I want to be and expect people to put, you know, trust in that. So continue, Henry, because again, and this is important, there was multiple verification beyond you and your intercessors, which you would call your you know,
commandos.
Your commandos, you know.
Say this thing had been dead for maybe a day or two. We estimated his size at approximately 12 to 10 feet tall. The giant killed the first team that they came across. He was extremely big and fast and agile for a guy that size.
The popes and the agents of the Holy See have known about the giants for many centuries.
And do you believe that they have artifacts from the past that would help explain some of what's going on?
Absolutely sure.
Well, Henry, the pastor's at your house. You get the call from your Green Beret. He's quick, blunt, and to the point and says, I'll get back to you. Where does it go from there?
We're sitting and we're talking about, what do you think this apostolic mantle or anointing means? And I'm saying, hey, listen, I'll be the first to say that who am I to be chosen of God to release the apostolic mantle that has been bound since the days of the Apostle Paul. There was a sensitivity down in that catacomb, way down under Rome, that's where Paul died. That stayed with me for days. That lingered with me. And I think that's why they were there. They were binding that mantle of anointing that was over Paul as not a whit behind the chiefest of the apostles, as he says. But I really sense that. I will not say, thus saith the Lord, but for days after that, there was a sensitivity in me that kept feeling I was literally standing in the catacomb where Paul died.
That would make sense, okay? It would make sense from the standpoint of, you know, just as God has had you walking all over the world, taking over blood guiltiness, you know, and where he died obviously was a shedding of, you know,
his blood.
His
still
blood's
there.
Yeah. So I find it interesting the tie between where God took you, that understanding, and in essence, you're binding those guys with the authority and you're breaking the whole. You know what it is? It's kind of like what you've taught us through all your teachings and video. There is a hold where innocent blood is shed,
absolutely,
and it ties evil to that.
Yes.
Now, you know, I've heard you share this,
absolutely,
but that I've never heard before, and that basically, it's kind of like one of those exploding moments where, you know, that's a big deal. And it must have been, I really believe that as we enter into these times where the gates of hell are opened, and you've been so gracious to come and share with us on camera, but that's a very important point. Because again, mm-hmm, when we get into the later sharing of what happened at Habu Island and all the events that are taking place, God is showing us a very powerful lesson here, okay? That number one, intercession, there is nothing equal to it when it comes to the power. Mm-hmm. Number two is authority and obedience. There's nothing that can withstand it. And number three, the remission of the great evil and the spiritual, the evil and the spiritual force that's tied to that innocent blood being shed.
Has legal license.
Has legal license.
To set up an operational center.
So okay, we've got the Green Beret. He's calling you. He says, I'll get back to you. You've got a pastor there that's probably going, I guess maybe I should have maybe not had this meeting today. but you know, take it from there, okay?
We're sitting discussing this, and my phone rings again. I don't know how long I didn't look at my watch. My wife estimated it was probably 45 minutes. And he says, Henry, and he gives his name again. And he says, I just talked to Tom in Vienna. I talked to Bob in Bangkok. And I talked to Jamie in Sacramento. And he says, the other two I have already talked to before I called you. This is why I called you, because he said, the three of us had the same experience. Now I have just had it confirmed through Tom and through Bob and through Jamie. Henry, all six of us, we have coordinated time. You told us 4:30 this morning. I have coordinated the time with Bob in Bangkok. I have coordinated the time with Tom in Vienna and Jamie in Sacramento. Henry, me up here in Fairbanks, Alaska. He says, we have coordinated our times. All of us, our time goes together wherever we are in the world with 4:30 in the morning, your time. We believe we were transported or translated to back you up in prayer. We believe we were experiencing that because we were following you. We saw you open the iron doors. We followed you down praying. We heard you and we saw you gesture with your hands. We couldn't see what you were pointing at, but we believe God has finished the strike in Rome.
Wow. The interesting thing too, Henry, is that these men were backing you up, and I noticed there's seven total.
Seven of us.
And it's interesting because, you know, obviously the scripture is really pronounced about the sevenfold functions of the Holy Spirit.
Woo.
But, yeah, you know, I want you to share now too, just when you were telling God that he's got to do something a little bit more, you know, we were talking earlier today, the whole thing about the Lord saying, why do you limit me? I know of no case in the New Testament or even in contemporary Christian history or record where seven men have been simultaneously translated at the same exact point. So share what, I think it's, people need to see it because we all have suggestions for God, but we all realize that he doesn't need our suggestions, you know, so I think that's important, but go ahead. You know.
Amen. Amen. Yeah. For about 2.5 years, I have been wrestling with the Lord over this. I have been traveling and flying so many years now, all over the world.
How many years have you been traveling and how many miles do you think you've traveled?
Since 1982, I have been flying all over the world.
How many countries have you been in?
54 nations. And I don't mind flying so much. It's just sitting all those hours. And then it's wasting all this time going through security. If they choose, they go through everything. You got to pull it all out and then repack it. And then you pull your clothes out of the suitcase and they've been through them and they're all wrinkled. And I'm sorry. It's just, that's my gripe. Okay. That's my
international
gripe.
You're tame. You ought to hear mine. We would be bleeping mine. So not yours. But.
Yeah. They pull your 6 ounce tube of toothpaste that has maybe 2 ounces left in it. It's rolled up and they say, we're confiscating that. You know what I mean? I said, what do you mean? It can't have 3 ounces. It's 6 ounces, but it says 6 ounces. So we're confiscating. Okay. Well, anyhow, all of that builds up to my complaining for about 2 years, 2.5 years to the Lord, saying, Lord, in your word, you say, don't take 2 coats, 2 pair of shoes, or a purse. Why don't you just start transporting me, translating me across the earth, and put me there and I'll go and I'll do my work and then translate me back home. And your word says in the last days, and you know, I don't know why we do it, Steve, but we're all guilty. We quote the word of God to the word of God. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Isn't it kind of weird when, if you're quoting what I've done in my life to me to try to legitimize your stand? Well, anyhow, I had been doing that with the Lord for about 2.5 years, and I'm walking back and forth in my hotel room up by Seattle. And this is last July. And all of a sudden, I hear a voice. I'm walking back and forth, and I turn from the bathroom and the entrance door to my room, and I hear this voice, and it says, "Stop limiting me." And I spun around, and I look, and nobody's there. I expected a strong person to be standing right behind me. Nobody's there. I go and I look in the bathroom. I go and open the door into the hallway, looking both ways in the hallway. Nobody's there. And I turn around and I said, "Father, did you say that to me?" I'm a little scared now, to be honest with you. I'm kind of trembling. I'm thinking, boy, I've never had you speak like that to me. It's like you really rebuked me. And he said, "Yes, you are limiting me. You don't understand what I mean in the scriptures that you quoted to me, but I'm going to show you." And instantly, I don't know if I was transported or it was vision. I don't know. I was on my feet, standing there in the room. Instantly, I am before, like millions of people around the world are before me, and I'm only appearing in front of one, and I speak to that one or just touch them and they're instantly healed, and I disappear, and now I'm over here with one, two, or three. I'm speaking to them, and I'm done, and boom, I'm transported somewhere else, and in a seconds of time, I have stood before so many people, and now I'm standing back in my room. And the Lord speaks to me, and he says, "You see, that is what that means. You have just been asking me to transport you to Japan, Korea, Taiwan, Singapore, Malaysia, China, because you're tired of all this traveling overseas. Then you can go on with the person that scheduled you, and you can do your teaching, preaching, and all that. That isn't what, in the last days, I will do a quick work and cut it short in righteousness."
Wow.
And I fell on my face, trembling and repenting, recognizing I have been limiting God in this mind of mine of the interpretation of his word.
Wow, that's a pretty astonishing, miraculous object lesson.
I'm still shaking talking about it.
When you share this stuff, Henry, with people, you know, you've been all over. I don't know of, I would say this, if I were to define what happens with you, you get to be, if you will, almost like the point man to show the rest of people what God can do and will do.
All right. What'd y'all think? That's the way I want to be doing it. I don't want no plane tickets. I just want to be, send me over there, Lord. Pow! In the name of Jesus. Yeah, Joe.
Yeah, I've heard that message before. You know, I thought that's just one of the many powerful testimonies he's got. That last part, I don't know if anyone else understood it. I mean, he was talking about going through airport security and having to do all that. You know, and then he talked about, you know, the idea of translation. I don't know. I was confused by what he was talking about. I guess he was, you know, when he was saying, "Hey, you know," I mean.
Let me explain it to you.
Yeah.
He was talking about, "Well, Lord, you send me to China. I got to go to China. I got to take it on the plane. I got to da-da-da-da-da-da-da and go through all customs and all that garbage." He said, "Why don't you just translate me over there to China, and then I can do my job over there, and when I get through, you come back." Here's what the Lord said. He took him, and he popped him over there in front of the people he's supposed to see. That instant. He got through what he had to do, went to another one, got that one done. He went to another one, he got that one done. In other words, the Lord was telling him, you have limited me by telling me that you want me to translate you to China when I can translate you all over the world in a second's moment. And you can take care of it within seconds rather than weeks or months. That's what he was talking about. He was talking about multiple people that he wanted him to look at and go see and minister to. And the Lord told him, you know, you've limited me. Why do you want me to just translate you over to one country when I can translate you into multiple countries in a second?
Wow.
That's what he was talking about. Yeah, okay. Pat.
Wow.
I also caught, I think, the idea, whether it's what he was saying or not, but Henry, in his mind, he was thinking, you know, take me to this place or whatever, and then I'll do my thing. I'll preach the gospel and I'll give them the 10 or whatever. But God put him in front of those people and gave him words, whatever words were needed, and got right to the point and shot him out of there. We don't need any more. This is it. You give them these words, that's all they need right there. So it's kind of that's kind of the thing I got out of it as well.
Yeah. Go ahead, Missy.
I forget what day it was, but I forget what day it was. It was early on my visit with my parents. My mom, I was awake not long before my mom got up, and she talks in her sleep, and I heard her say something. I forget what it was I heard her say, but I only caught a couple words or whatever, and the next thing you know, she gets up, and after she was up a little bit, she sits down. She says, I just had a dream about you. And I'm like, oh yeah. I'm like, oh, what? I'm like, anyway, she says, I dreamt, she just simply put it, that I was going to go to be a missionary. And so I said to her, I said, well, and I told her about the dream that I had about Judy and I being in the hang glider and going to this city that looked like a European country or what, European city. And I told her about David being translated over into Europe, you know, and just about, and I said to her, I said, you know, I said, and I told her about the dream that Sandy had of twice about us going to California ministering, and about dream that her friend B had about us going to South America and stuff like that. And I said, because she had asked me, I forget how she said that, asked me, but basically wanted to know if I thought that was true, or if that witnessed to me or confirmed to me anything or whatever. And I said, yeah. And I said, I don't believe I'm going to be any Lord's going to have me any place for a long period of time or anything like that. And, you know, she had some of her, she made some comments, you know, about, you know, she says, well, Franklin Graham has this ministry called Samaritan's Purse or whatever. And she says, you know, Lord may have you do something like that, work for Samaritan's Purse or whatever, you know, work with them or something. And I didn't say anything. I'm thinking, no, but anyway, but the Lord's really taught me to button my lips. And, you know, there's so many, I've really learned to bridle my tongue with my mom. But anyway, it was really interesting. It was really interesting that she had that dream, you know, and so that was pretty cool. So I'm getting excited, you know. I think that's So we got some stuff coming soon. Thank you, Lord.
Well, when he does send you off on a missionary trip, tell him to get whatever you've got lined up for me this next 6 months. Let's go ahead and do it right now.
Yeah.
That's what you're supposed to do, because you've learned now that don't limit God.
Well, you know, the Lord pointed out to me, you know, everybody, really, it doesn't matter. You don't have to go overseas to be a missionary, because what is the Great Commission? It's a commission to go and preach the gospel. You know, like I was just sharing, you know, don't go out until you're endued with power, until you're baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit, you know? We're all called to go and preach the gospel. You know, our mission field can be, you know, our neighborhood, you know, wherever the Lord, you know, puts you. I just really thought that was interesting. I was like, wow. So, praise the Lord.
Amen. Yeah, Pat.
I had never heard of Henry Gruber before. So he was talking about prayer walking. Can you explain that?
Yeah. Henry's been doing it for many years. He'd go into an area. He started out, you can find him on YouTube talking about it, but he would go into an area and just walk and pray over a town, over a city, you know. He just walk and pray, and the Lord would send him all over the world to do that. And they pray against the principalities and powers of the air that's over those places. And he's done that for, gosh, I don't know, probably 50, 60 years now. So anyway, that's been his job. And it's very interesting. He's had a lot of supernatural experiences along the way, and you can look him up on the internet, and he tells you a lot. He didn't mind telling you. He's had a wreck one time, and died and went to heaven. A lot of things, you know. He's done a lot. He's a good man.
He prays in the spirit.
Do what?
You think he prays in the spirit?
Well, I'm sure he does. Yeah.
When he's praying, I just kind of wondered.
Yeah. Yeah, Malcolm, go ahead.
I was just going to say, when he comes to Coffeeville, I've gotten to hear him several years. He hasn't come for a while since his major illness. But, I heard him tell the story about being bounced around all over the place, that same thing that he told in that. Very cool guy, just thin as a rail. He wears these pants that are really skinny, and it's not even, his legs aren't even filling the pants out. Anyway, one Sunday morning, or I don't know what it was, one morning, they had like a men's get-together, and so I was going through the food line with him. It was kind of a meal, and I said, you're pretty thin. I said, yeah. I said, he made some comment about Paul's instruction on fasting often. So anyway, neat guy. His back is bent over, as I'm sure you can see in the videos, but he's gotten to the point where he has kind of a hunch in the upper area of his back because of carrying his backpack for miles and miles and miles as he does his prayer walking. Anyway, the guy. I hope he comes back, you know, to this area. Love to see him again.
Okay.
Here. Michael.
Michael.
I was trying to say Henry.
Good to meet you, Malcolm.
Yeah. I just went to my 40th year reunion. My class, the graduating class was so huge, I didn't remember much of anybody of the few people that showed up. But that was one of my problems, is, you look at somebody 40 years later and And you guess as to who they might be, and you guess wrong. And after you guess wrong enough times, you start thinking maybe you should button up your lips. Anyway.
Best just
everybody's retiring. It's depressing. Anyway. Okay, back to reality.
Okay. Go ahead, Leah.
I was just going to suggest, excuse me, you mentioned his dying and going to heaven and so forth. I want to suggest to everybody that they watch that. There's some amazing information in there about the universe. And I'll just leave it at that. He talks about the universe as well. So God reveals to him some great things. So if you get an opportunity, it's about an hour long, but if you get an opportunity to listen to that, it's the one where he dies and goes to heaven.
Actually, the scientists confirmed the things that he saw out there, that information hadn't been put out to the public yet. And Groover already knew about it. Okay, who's next? Yeah, Sue, go ahead.
I was, I'm going to ask you about the apostolic anointing. You remember he talked about the apostolic anointing?
Yeah.
Is it related to the man-child, that the man-child will receive for that power?
Well, that'll be part of it. That'll be a portion of it. That it won't be the whole thing. The whole thing is the latter rain, remember?
Is that like the apostle, related to the apostle?
No. The man-child will pick the apostles.
Okay.
And that's the latter rain that he gets. And, it's going to be portioned out. I don't know exactly how to do it. I'm going back through hidden manna, so maybe I'll find out. But yeah, I do know that. Excuse me?
That's what I thought of when I heard him talking about apostolic anointing. I thought that maybe that would have to do with coming on the man-child.
No, it'll be on the apostles, I suspect, because the man-child's going to be like Jesus.
Okay.
He's going to have the power of Jesus, yeah. And then the man-child will pick the apostles, and then they will get that anointing. There's people, probably some people right now that have that apostolic anointing, you know. Yeah, Leon, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that the apostolic anointing is on a lot of people, or not a lot, but on several people. It's people that teach the Bible the way that we're taught the Bible. And there's more than just David that does that. It's the people that are anointed to do that. They recognize, they see what their scriptures say, and they have a knowledge about them from God to pass that on to others. That's an apostolic anointing. And there's some other ones around, but, you know, David is anointed like that, you know. And then he's going to make it to the man child, and several others will as well. You know, they'll go on from their anointing right now, and they'll move on up another rung, so to speak, and others will take their place. There'll be others that'll come up behind them. And like Michael just said, the man-child will appoint them. You know, they'll recognize who has what and who has what gifts, and they will dispense that knowledge to them and bring others up as well. So
All right, any more questions? Has anybody on here ever been translated? Willie was just translated.
What's the guy's name again?
Henry Groover. G-R-U.
Groover?
No. Groover. G-R-U-E-V-E-R, I think. No, G-R-U-V-E-R, yeah. G-R-U-V-E-R.
Michael?
Yeah.
Did you get any kickbacks for that O'Reilly's commercial?
I can't. I'm not at liberty to say right now.
Okay. I'll let you off the hook.
Okay. Thank you. No, I couldn't get to it quick enough. Y'all were in the way. Your pictures were in the way, and I couldn't hit the thing, and I was trying to get things out of the way. Anyway, praise God. No, I'm like, Missy, it's going to be some exciting times ahead of us. And just like Groover said, that the Lord told him, don't limit God. Don't limit him at all, man. That just opened up. When he said that just opened up a whole new realm for me. I don't know about y'all, but it did for me. I don't want to be just translated over to wherever to preach a sermon. I want to go up there and do exactly what the Lord wants me to do, go to somewhere else, do the same thing, be back for supper that night. You know what I mean? Yeah, Joe.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of Henry's messages before, but he was one of the few when I came out of the apostate church. I mean, a couple of years later, I came in contact with David and UBM, but I, you know, I heard some of the similar testimonies, but I think Henry was one of the first couple, and I just, some of his testimonies, I thought, wow. You know, I mean, when I think I've given this testimony before the Lord called me out of the church, I remember, the thought came to my mind as I'm just sitting in a little Baptist church, there's got to be more to Christianity. And what Henry's, you know, experienced, and many others, you know, not just Henry Groover, but many others have, you know, experienced that power of who really God is. I mean, I just was like, I was blown away. I was like, so that's where those people are. You know, they've been out there ever since. You know, they're not putting themselves out there. Hey, look at me. You know, I mean, they're just humble everyday people, you know, that God is using to do these, you know, to show himself and, you know, to do these amazing miracles. And it was just, you know, yeah, I mean, if you, anyone, you know, who's interested, I mean, some of his messages are just like 2 to 3 hours long, but it's just powerful miracles God has done through him, you know, and it just, I mean, it'll really, you know, encourage you, you know, make you excited because you're thinking, man, you know, like you said, don't limit God. You know, I'll confess I'm guilty of that. I'm thinking, well, you can do this, God, but I don't know if you can do that, but no, just take him out of that box and let him go. So.
Amen. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, Missy.
You know, one thing that the Lord is really impressing me with reading Andrew Murray is the omnipotence of God. You know, our God is an almighty God, and he's powerful, you know. And, you know, the biggest thing is, you know, what's coming to me, that we limit God is we look in the mirror and see our old man. We need to look in the mirror and see Jesus. Don't look at yourself. Look at Jesus in the mirror and know that there's nothing impossible with him. Just believe and trust that he's going to finish the good work that he started in you. And he is not limited by time, because with him there is no time. And don't think that, oh gosh, you know, the Lord has, you know, I'm like, I have so far to go, you know, to be where, you know, blah, 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 whatever, you know, no, it's not you, it's God doing it. And there's nothing impossible to them that believe, you know, and you just give yourself over to the Lord, absolutely surrender him, ask him to do whatever it takes to get you where he wants you to be, to, you know, without spot, wrinkle, blemish, you know, to get you where he wants you to be, because that's what the power of his spirit is. That's what this anointing is, you know. Just believe that the Lord can do that. As long as you're believing by faith, he's going to do it. And, you know, I mean, he's not limited. He's not limited by time. And he's, just believe that he's working, everything out for your good, because you love him and you're obedient to him, and he's just, you know, if you don't feel like you're obedient, say, Lord, I want to be obedient. I want to love you more. You know, you just, like David's always told us, you know, ask God for everything. Ask him for everything. So, but anyway, I just wanted to say that, you know.
One of the miracles that Jesus did that always got me was in Matthew. It talks about him walking on the water, strolling out there to the disciples, you know, because they were in distress out there with the storm going on. But in Mark, it does the same thing. But in John, Matthew, he talks about Peter coming out there trying to go to it. Mark, it doesn't talk about that. In John, it talks about something else. Once he got in the boat was immediately at the port. Jesus didn't limit God. He not only translated himself, he translated the boat and all the passengers over there. So Jesus didn't limit himself, didn't limit God. Okay, praise God. All right, does anybody need any prayer before we close out? Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you for another wonderful evening of fun with you, Lord, and your people. I thank you for it, Lord. I thank you that tonight everybody got something from you, Lord, and I praise you for it. I just wanted to pray, Lord, for Monroe and Joe, both down there in South Africa. I ask for your protection upon both of them, Lord, 100% protection on them and their families and their friends, Lord, that nothing would penetrate that barrier that you have around them in the name of Jesus. And Father, I thank you that if they need to move, if they need to go somewhere, that you'd let them know in time for them to move, do whatever it is that they need to do. And Father, I thank you for that. I thank you for your protection upon both of my brothers and their families in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to give us all a good night's sleep tonight. Mm-hmm. And we'll wake up refreshed in the morning, ready to go again, because we ain't going to limit you now another time. We're just going to do it. We're going to ask you for everything. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord, for what you're doing in all of it. Amen. Good night, y'all.